What happens during a cabin depressurization? Actually, there were three crew members aboard the Mir station at that time, and what really happened, a Progress resupply ship careened into the hull of the Spectre module and caused a leak. And they heard the thud, and then they felt in their ears a drop in pressure. I don't know if you've experienced that in a plane or not, but as you come on down, you have an ear block, and that's exactly what they felt. They knew that there was a cabin depressurization, and they sort of suspected where it was. So what they did is they rushed to the hatch of that damaged module. They cut all the cables and all the ducting that fed into that chamber and put the hatch on the doorway there. And they did all this within 10 minutes. It was really a great save. Those guys, there's a lot in the press early on blaming the crew for crew error, but actually they were real heroes. They saved the entire space station doing that. So I think the way TV portrays space is correct. That's a tough one. It depends on the particular show you're talking about. Apollo 13, I don't know if you've seen that movie, actually did a fairly close representation of what the real history was. That was a wonderfully done film. And actually, they used some of our aircraft, a plane called the KC-135. It does these huge parabolic arcs like this, and at the very top of them, you get about 25 seconds of actual zero gravity. And so they filmed a lot of their sequences in zero G during those parabolas. So that was actually very lifelike and very interesting. Star Trek, that's way out, but there are other things that are coming closer and closer. But I think Apollo 13 was a really good shot at it. How many years of training and schooling is required before becoming an astronaut? Well, first let me say that there are two different types of astronauts. There are mission specialist astronauts like myself who are scientists. We perform spacewalks and fly the robotic arm and perform scientific duties. And then there are pilot-type astronauts who are military fighter test pilots, different paths to the same job. For mission specialists, typically you need an advanced degree like a medical degree or a PhD. And several years of relevant experience. For a pilot-type astronaut, you need about 1,500 hours of jet time and to be a graduate of test pilot school. But again, I guess the bottom line is you just need a strong background in an area that's relevant to space exploration. We're talking about space tourism. Would people in the future be required to go through all of that training? And the answer is no. I'm not sure exactly when that's going to happen. I think in probably the next 15 to 20 years, there will be ways for tourists to go up into space and perhaps even spend a few days up on orbit on a space station, kind of a space hotel. And in those types of trips, I don't think much training would be required other than just safety training. Of course, the reason we go into space now is to conduct scientific research and other operations, and a lot of training is required to do that. How often do we have space shuttle missions? Is that typically every 6 weeks or so? There's a launch, and the next launch actually will be Andy Thomas's flight in late January. Is there any special treatment or protocol prevent us getting decompression sickness or bends or other types of things when we come back from space? Actually, there really isn't any risk of decompression sickness just flying on the shuttle because it's a one-atmosphere environment the entire flight. When we go out on our spacewalks, however, we're going out into the vacuum of space, and the pressure in our suit is quite a bit lower as well. So there is a risk of decompression sickness there. We follow basically the same types of dive tables that a scuba diver would use. Of course, it's modified for space flight, and it's understandably very conservative. So before our space flight, we had to breathe 100% oxygen for almost 3 hours to purge the nitrogen in our system so that we wouldn't have decompression sickness. Yes? Yes, we do. The question was, do we have toilets in space? And and thank goodness we do. It's a question that we get very often, and unfortunately, for your curiosity, it really isn't all that spectacular. It's very similar to what we have here on Earth. It's got a hole, and instead of using water, it uses vacuum to get rid of the waste products. The only thing that's a little bit different, there are a couple of leg restraints because you wouldn't want to go floating off now, would you? So, another question. How does it really feel to float around up in space? It's just the most magical sensation you can possibly imagine. It's the only earthbound parallel I can draw is maybe being on the top of a pool on a float and just floating there completely relaxed. But it's effortless to work up in space. You know, when we move about here, we have to resist the force of gravity to do everything that we want to do. To walk from here to there, I have to use lots of different muscles, and it's work. But in space, you can just push off with your fingertips from here, and I could fly like Superman up to the ceiling back there. It's just an incredible thing. And then when you couple that with looking out the window and seeing an entire continent in a single glance, you know, for example, your beautiful country here, you can see all of Australia just in a single view. It's great. You would like it. Yes. How do you manage time to do sports when we have such a complicated flight plan? It's actually very difficult. We have a timeline set up for each day, and they basically book our time from the moment we get up to the time we go to bed, because time on orbit is very expensive, and we have to make the most of it. But they do give us the time to exercise each day because it is really important. Our health is important. In the event that we'd have to do an emergency egress once we landed, we'd have to have the strength to get into our spacesuit and run away from the vehicle. So they take exercise very seriously, and they allow us to do that in space. Yeah. Yes, they do. Muscles do atrophy in space because you aren't using them nearly as much, especially what I call the anti-gravity muscles, the spine and on down. The things that resist gravity, all those muscles do atrophy even after short flights, and also there's a weakening of the bones involved. So the most important countermeasure to being in space is exercise, and we try and do that all the time. Other questions? Yes. Is aging slower in space? That's a really good question, and I assume you're asking about relativistic aging, and we don't get anywhere close to the speed of light in our travel. We're going very, very fast. We're going way above the speed limit here in Australia, but nowhere near the type of speeds that I think you're implying. So we come back pretty much the same age we left. The very back. When do I think the first Mars mission will take place? And I'm going on the current plan, which is around the year 2018, we'll have the first human exploration of Mars. In the coming years, we're going to have the International Space Station assembled on orbit, which is something that I'll certainly take part in. And soon thereafter, we're going to be going back to the moon to test out life support systems and other preparatory work for going to Mars. The reason we want to go back to the moon is because it's a three-day trip back home. Going to Mars, it's anywhere from 3 months to 12 months just to get there, and the same amount of time to come back home. So a lot of exciting things in the next 20 years in space. Yes. How do they select crews? How do they assemble crews together? That's actually kind of a mystery to all of us, but I think that they do... look at the personalities involved, as well as just the skill mix of people on board the flight to select the best people for those missions. So they pick people who have a background in athletics to do spacewalks, and you know, if it's a material science research flight, they'll pick material scientists to go do those flights. It all depends. Yes, Mir is the only space station on orbit right now. That is correct. Yes, I've been referring to it as the International Space Station, and it's actually a huge international cooperative effort between the United States, Russia, the Canadians, the European Space Agency, the Japanese, even Brazil now has joined in. And I've been saying this quite often on my trip here, but I certainly hope that Australia joins us in the coming years. Australia has a strong history in space exploration, not only in human exploration with Paul Scully Powers and Andy Thomas, but you know, you've got the Canberra tracking station. You have lots of different satellite technologies and space technologies that are being developed here. So we hope to get Australia online with International Space Station and of course, going on to Mars with us. Oh, that's a good question. How long does it take to get used to 1G after a flight? And we call it getting your land legs back. And it varies from person to person. For me, it takes about a day. Your gyros, your inner ear that senses what's up and what's down, is quite a bit confused that very first day. Of course, you're a little bit weaker, as we discussed earlier. And so you kind of have you kind of feel like you're a little bit drunk, even though you haven't had any grog. You gradually get your gyros back. An interesting thing that happens is walking around corners. If you walk around a corner, you're most likely to run into the door jamb and things like that. And people think you're just nuts. Yes. How is time measured in space? We actually have a master timing unit, which synchronizes all of our general purpose computers on board, and they all talk to one another. And so there's a synchronized time between all of them. Also, we have the ability for the ground to uplink calibrated time periodically. We call that a kind of a state vector, and the state vector refers to not only the time, it's a time tag, but also our position in the sky and our rates through the sky. So they do that by tracking us from the ground. Yes, we do get paid a lot more when we go on a space mission. I'll tell you how much. It's kind of like going on government travel, and we get travel orders when it's kind of interesting. You get a travel order to go fly in space, and it says permission to go from Houston, Texas, to the Kennedy Space Center, Florida, to low Earth orbit and return. And the per diem is what we call it, the amount of money that we get for meals and incidental expenses, is $2 a day, because meals and lodging are provided by the government. Okay, that went over everybody's head. Basically, we get $2 a day extra. Not very much. Okay.